Hope everybody's having hopefully a rainy day, because we definitely need it. Thank God for the rain for sure. Let's jump in, and then the scripture today is going to come out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Father, we come to you today with expectant hearts, grateful hearts. We thank you, God, for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for protection of our families, our friends, and even our enemies. We thank you for our children or grandchildren. We thank you for everything that you've placed in our lives. Lord, I pray today that you will speak to us individually, whether it be right now or people that hear this later, and that you will forever change us, forever encourage us, so that we can see your goodness, Lord, that we can, from this moment forward, believe what we pray, that we can believe what we hear, we can believe what thus saith the Lord our God. We honor you today. We thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 12, verse 12, you have Brother Peter. A lot of times people want to talk about Peter denying Jesus the three times. Absolutely happened. But I don't ever want to forget about all the amazing and wonderful things that Peter has done and did do for the Lord. Yeah, Peter that believed that he was the Christ. Yes, Peter had some moments of doubt, some moments of confusion. And yes, Peter had a loud mouth. Many of us can testify that sometimes we just have a loud mouth. I believe I'm getting an amen in the spirit right now. I know that sometimes I have a loud mouth. But Peter ultimately was close to Jesus. He believed Jesus. He loved Jesus. And he knew that he was forgiven by God. And what I want to challenge us with today is that when we know that we're forgiven, when we know that we're loved, then nobody can shake us from that fact. A lot of people would say that as long as you have a firm foundation or a rock solid foundation, then everything else will fall in line. The whole principle of the three little pigs is the wolf blows down the one house of straw, the one house of, oh Lord, is it sand or rock or sand or wood, whatever it is. And then the third house being brick, it had a firm foundation so it couldn't be moved. Well, we have Brother Peter here. And what I want to encourage you with today, and a lot of you that are in this call or that will hear this message are builders. And when we build our house, and I am the least important person you want to talk to about building and stuff, because I definitely don't understand a lot of it. But I do know when they were building our house, one of the most important things was when they were doing the foundation. Because I had heard several times, if the foundation is wrong, that doesn't mean that your house will never be level or never be right. But you do have to make concessions if the foundation is not level and strong. You have to manipulate a few things. You have to bring out, you know, certain things that will help level it out that necessarily weren't meant to be there. So in our relationship with God, social media, TV, everything is screaming at us and yelling at us to tell us to do it a certain kind of way and to be this type of Christian. But I want to encourage us and challenge us today and say, listen, get your word from God. A lot of people say, where do you get your news from? Or what news organization do you watch or do you listen to? And my question today is, what gospel do we believe in? Do we believe in a watered down version of it that makes sure we don't offend anybody or we don't get on anybody's nerves? Or do we believe the same kind of gospel that when Peter was thrown into prison and he had roughly 16 guards around him, that he was so at peace that the Bible says that an angel of the Lord came in, there was a great light in the room, and Peter rested so much in God that the Bible says that the angel had to smite him just to wake him up. I want you to think about that, because some of us, if it comes a thunderstorm, can't sleep because we're too anxious about a tree that might fall on a house. We're too scared that what might or could happen, that we can't find peace in our life sometimes. But Peter, with all his faults, knew that God was going to be there for him. Peter knew that if he just believed God, that it was that simple, that he could go to sleep in the middle of these guards. He could go to sleep in the middle of his life hanging in the balance. Peter could fall asleep. But brothers and sisters, I believe some of us, we can find the gospel and we can trust and believe God, and we pray and we fast and we do some of the things that we're supposed to do. But I think sometimes we do it out of tradition rather than relationship. You see, sometimes I think we pray for things and we pray for things to get it off of our chest, but we don't believe God is going to perform that miracle. And the reason that I believe we think that he's not going to do it is because we have a heart issue. We don't understand how much he truly, truly loves us. We don't understand how fascinated he is with us. We don't understand that we're the apple of his eye. We don't understand that he sent his only begotten son, yes, to die for us, but it does not stop there. It's not like God said, okay, I love him enough to send my only son for him, and that's it. The Bible says that his mercy is renewed daily. The Bible teaches us that he's slow to anger, that he's long-suffering. So Peter, in the middle of literally a death sentence, went to sleep. The angel has to smite him on his body to wake him up. And then the chains fell off. And Peter, we're going to pick up, gets out of the prison, and he's about to go address some people that have been praying for him. And my question is, who are you in this story? Are you somebody that believes God can do anything and you have peace in your life and you can sleep in the middle of a storm, whatever that storm may be? Maybe it's a bad diagnosis. Maybe it's your children or grandchildren are acting crazy. Maybe it's your wife or your husband or your significant others not paying attention to you or loving you, or all hell's breaking loose in their life. Or are you like these people that are praying for a miracle to happen for Peter? They're faithful to come together. They're faithful to join together. And they're believing that God is going to do a miracle in Peter's life. Acts chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible says, so when he had considered this, he being Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. Verse 14, when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. So these people have come together. They're praying for Peter to be released. Peter gets released. The Bible says that he's knocking at this gate. This girl named Rhoda recognizes his voice, runs back to the people and says, listen, Peter's here. God did it. And their first response back to Rhoda was, that's not possible. But wait a minute, weren't you guys praying for this manifestation? Weren't you guys praying that this was going to happen? Weren't you trusting God and God did it? And Rhoda is, she's explaining to them, she's so happy with gladness that God did this thing that she has recognized Peter that she forgets to open the gate. And they say to her, listen, that's not really him. And she, the Bible says that she insisted, meaning she didn't give up. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, brothers and sisters. It's okay that you've told your family or friends or coworkers about the goodness of God many, many times, hundreds, if not thousands of times, and they still don't listen. Because I had to be told thousands and thousands of times about a God that was in love with me, about a God that redeemed me, about a God that would save me before I listened. But I thank God for Rhoda's in my life, that keep on pushing, that keep on insisting, to keep on telling me there's somebody at the gate. You see, it wasn't Rhoda's responsibility to explain how God did it. So I want to give you permission today, permission for all of us today, that we don't have to explain everything about God, because I don't have all the answers. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody talking about God or talking about a revelation or whatever it may be, talking about scripture, And you've either said out loud or you've said within yourself, I wish my husband or my wife or my pastor or my apostle was here to explain it. They understand it a little better than me. Or they can explain it better than me. They can defend or they can expound on this a little better than I can. I know I have. Many times in my life, I was like, listen, if my apostle was here, she would preach this with power and the fire of God would come down and it would be amazing. Many times I said, if Elder was here, Manfred's his real name, but I call him Elder because that's his name to me. But if Elder were here, he has revelations like I've never seen in my life. And he could make you see it the way that I see it. He could explain it so you could see the goodness of God. He could explain it in a way that was so simple that even kids can understand it. But you see, brothers and sisters, Rhoda didn't have to explain how Peter was let out because she didn't know. She just knew that he was there and they were praying for this to happen and she believed that it was him. You see, all you and I have to do is believe that God can do it. And it's not enough to believe that he can do it. I don't want you to stop there because I stop there sometimes. I want you to believe that God will do it. I want to believe myself that God's going to do it. The Bible is extremely clear in many, many passages that we should have the faith like children. We would all agree to that. Why does God want us to be like a child in so, so many verses in the Bible? One of the main reasons, to be honest with you, I'm learning. Joshua's 11 and Isabel's 8 now. And I'm learning so much from these children that I see in my life and in the school that Joshua goes to. I'm watching these kids that were scared to raise their hand in worship 2 weeks ago now dance before the Lord. I'm watching these kids that were timid now know that they're loved by God, and I'm watching them express themselves freely in dance, in word, in friendships, and in many things in their life. But one of the greatest reasons that I've learned why God wants us to be like children, I learned this past week. Isabel had a couple friends over, Maylee and Cammie and their sisters. And while they were here, they had the best time ever. All three of them were running around acting crazy, and I was acting crazy with them. It was great. Most of it was great. We got a little crazy, but you know, it was fun. But while they were here, one of the young ladies said, listen, we want to spend the night next week. She wasn't scared to ask Alex. She wasn't scared to ask me. She was enjoying the fellowship so much that she immediately said, listen, can we spend the night next week? I would have been scared to ask somebody that. To be honest with you, what if they're busy? What if they have this going on? What if we can't? What if the answer is no? But her joy and her excitement, her belief that everything was going to be okay, outweighed the possibility of no. How many of us today can learn from that? That we can talk to God and we can enjoy our time that we spend with Him collectively and individually, and we can say, God, this is what I'm asking you to do. And we're not scared of a no because we know how much He loves us. We're not scared of no, not yet, or no, that's not going to happen, or no, you can't have. We trust that He is a good, good Father and that He knows best. You see, Rhoda wasn't scared to go back to the people and tell them, listen, Peter is at the gate. And I believe that the reason that she was, the Bible says that she walked away without opening the gate is because God wanted us to understand it's okay to be excited. It's okay to be beside yourself. It's okay to be so caught up in your emotions with joy and peace and love and excitement and exuberance that it's okay to feel these things. It's okay to live these things. It's okay to go back and tell people, listen, what you're praying for has happened. The Bible says in verse 15, that when she ran to them, that they said, you are beside yourself. In other words, in modern day terms, you have lost your mind. You're tripping. You're confused. You're messed up. No, I know what you're saying, Miss Rhoda. It sounds good. And I know you might even believe it, but it's just not really possible. Could you imagine the confusion on Rhoda's face? Well, wait a minute. Why are y'all telling me that this can't happen or this didn't happen? Wasn't this what we were praying for? Wasn't this what we were believing for? So you and I have to make a decision from this moment forward. What we're praying, do we really believe? What we're asking God for and talking to God about when he makes it happen in whatever way he wants to make it happen. If he wants Peter knocking at the gate, or if he wants Peter coming in the middle of the room like Jesus did with the doors open or closed, are we okay with that? If we pray something to God, are we okay with the way that he answers it? You see, we don't get the best of both worlds in this situation. We can't say, okay, God, I want you to save my son or my daughter or my wife or husband or coworkers, and then tell God how to do it. You see, if we ask God for something, we got to believe that his way is better than our way. And we can't say, okay, God, I want you to pour out your Holy Spirit. I want revival, but God, I only want it on Sunday morning. You see, we can't say, God, I want revival in the church. I want revival in my life. But God, I don't want to do all that speaking in tongues, or I don't want to do all these outpouring of the Holy Spirit expressions. You see, we have to trust God to do it the way that God wants to do it. I believe out of all those people, according to the scripture, Rhoda may have been the only one that believed God was going to release Peter. Because when she heard and she recognized his voice, when she had a personal experience with him, that was the only way. The only way you and me can recognize somebody's voice is that we've had a personal experience with them. You could use the example of when a mom hears a kid crying in a store and there's 500 people in there, that mom will know that baby's cry. That dad will know that son or that daughter's cry. That daddy or that mama. Why? Because there's a personal experience there. There's a personal relationship there. You tell me the God of all creation don't know your cry? I know the God of all glory, the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I need you to understand to this day that he understands your cry, he hears your cry, and he will move on your behalf. Yes, you are that important in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that they say, listen, Rhoda, you've lost it. You're mistaken. It's okay, little girl. It's okay that you thought it was him, but maybe we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and it's his angel. In verse 16, the Bible says, now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Brothers and sisters, today, my encouragement to you, my encouragement to myself, is that God will not stop knocking. God will not stop using people to tell you and to explain to you how much he loves you and I. You see, I thank God that we serve a God that will not stop, that will not let us believe that we're less than, that will not let you and me believe that we're not as important as the pastor of a mega church or your pastor or your elder or your bishop or whomever it may be. You see, the greatest message, one of the greatest messages I believe that God wants to share, that God speaks to me all the time, is that he wants you and me to know how much we're loved. He wants you and me to know that he's not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. And the same way that he let Peter out of that prison, he will let you and me out. He will perform a miracle. The miracles were not just for the people in the Bible. It wasn't for people 200 years ago or 100 years ago or grandmama in them. You see, God wants to perform miracles for you and me now. And I love that the Bible says that Peter continued knocking. You see, that little girl asked us, could she spend the night 4 or 5 days ago? And not only did she do that, when she got in front of her grandmother, when Alex led them home, she said, "Hey, Grandmama, hey, Nana, we're going to spend the night with Alan and Alex and Isabel." You see, that little kid wasn't scared of a no. She just wanted a yes. She just wanted to have another experience and another experience and another experience. And that's the way God wants you and me. God wants us to talk to Him and talk to Him again and listen to Him again and listen to Him again. But we have to believe what we're praying. Why were the people astonished? Why were the people so hesitant to receive Peter when they were praying for Peter to be released? It's a simple thought. But it's the same thing you or me do. God, please give me this new car. God, please give me this new house. God, please give me this job. And then as soon as we get the job, we don't appreciate it. As soon as we get the next greatest thing, we don't appreciate it. We want something different. We want. We don't spend time appreciating what He's already done. For me as a parent, one of the greatest things that my kids can do for me or Alex is appreciate what we did. Take the time to say thank you. That makes me want to do more for them. Spend more time with them. Express my love to them in different ways. Today, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to know that it's okay if you prayed something and didn't believe God for it. Because the Bible says that Peter continued knocking, and then they finally opened the gate, and then they got to have the experience that they wanted. You see, me and you serve a God. We serve a God that's so good, that's so full of love, that's so full of mercy, that'll continue to press in until He gets to have that experience with us. Peter kept knocking because Peter knew he needed to encourage the people. Do we believe what we're praying for? I hope so. But if not, don't condemn yourself. Just ask God to give you more faith. If we fall short in certain areas, don't allow the enemy to condemn us. Just say, God, keep on knocking. If we're like Rhoda and we get so excited that sometimes we mess up, that's okay too. Sometimes I get so excited. Sometimes I let my emotions take control that I mess up or I talk too much or I don't listen or whatever it may be. And I get beside myself, and that's okay too. Just make sure you go back to Him and open the gate. Just make sure you go back to Him and allow Him to come in and to sup with us, to eat with us, to fellowship with us. That's the kind of God that you and I serve. He performed a miracle for Peter. He told Peter went to the gate and knocked and finally got in. And after all this He did for Peter and performed these miracles, God still knew that Peter would deny Him three times. But ultimately, He knew that Peter would come back into relationship with Him and help save many, many people in the world. That's the kind of God that you and I serve. He don't give up on us. We're not too old or we're not too far gone. We just have to believe. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank You today. I thank You, Father, for everything that You do for us. I thank You that if we're like Rhoda, if we're like Peter, if we're like the people praying, whomever we're like, God, that if we mess up, if we fall short, if we don't believe, that You're right there to make sure that we can still have that personal relationship with You. I thank You this day, God, that You do not give up on me. God, I thank You that You don't give up on us. I thank You that we can be like these little kids that I'm seeing and we can dance before You. God, we can worship You, we can praise You, we can glorify You because You and You alone deserve it. God, make me like that little girl that said she wants to spend the night with us. Make my desire to spend time with You so great that I'm not scared of the cost. I'm not scared of the plans that have to take place, that I'm not scared of what things have to be connected together in order for it to happen. God, make us like that little girl that just wants to spend time together. Yahweh, I thank you today that you're exactly who that you say that you are. I thank you that you're good, and I thank you that you're perfect, and I thank you that you're righteous. And I pray for my brothers and sisters today, God, that, Lord, I pray that you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. I pray, Lord, that we'll prophesy. I pray that we'll experience the giftings of the Holy Spirit. I pray these things upon your people, Lord. I pray that you will continue to show us and to reveal to us exactly who that you are. Because you're better than religion told me, God. God, you're better than I ever thought possible. Your love consumes us. Your love redeems us. Your grace and your mercy picks us up every day. So today we merely say yes to you. Yes, we believe. Yes, we open the gate. And more than anything, yes, we want the communion. Yes, we want the relationship. Yes, we want you. By faith, we pray these things. By faith, we believe these things. And God, I seal them in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.